Students in schools across the Commonwealth are back to the business of studying, and there may be a great deal to make up for in the classroom as we start our third academic year touched by COVID. One local teacher cautions us, though, that along with math, science, spelling, school districts need to make time in the school day for healing from the pandemic, from a year of racial reckoning, and from an abnormal year away from friends and socializing. Do you agree? Should schools be making space for healing? And what would you want that to look like? Or maybe your school is doing it, is doing just that. And if so, tell us about it. What are they doing? Give us a call. Join the conversation. It's 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Nima Avashia is a middle school teacher in the Boston Public Schools. She made her case for healing in a recent piece for WBUR's Cognoscenti, and she joins us now. Nima, thanks for joining Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So in your essay, you ask schools to make space for kids to heal from the pandemic and this year of racial reckoning, among other traumas. What inspired you to write this and write it now?
To be totally honest, it's something that I feel like I've been thinking about since very early in the pandemic, because I learned or realized very early in the pandemic that I did not know how to be a remote school teacher. And so I started to spend time really talking with my students and creating space for them to share with me how they were doing, what was working and what wasn't working for them. And so it was over the course of the last 18 months of really listening intentionally to young people that I heard a lot of pain in their voices, and I heard a lot of struggle surfacing, and it manifested in lots of different ways. For some young people, it was around losses of family members. For some young people, it was around a loss of sense of self or a loss of connection to friends, a loss of interests. But overwhelmingly, lots of students were telling me that they were having a really hard time, and that they needed schools to figure out different ways to support them and different ways to meet the needs that we're servicing during this time. And Nima, so everything, I think, is really something I feel like that's come from conversations with young people.
Nima, can you bring that home for us? Can you tell us about one of those conversations? Obviously, you don't have to tell us who the young person was, but tell us about one of those that sticks in your mind.
A few months ago, I did a circle with a group of students responding to the idea of learning loss, which is a really common theme in the narrative around education right now. And I really wanted to hear from students what their feelings were about this idea of learning loss, how they felt about their time during school. Did they view themselves as having lost? Did they see ways in which they might have gained? And so in the context of that circle, young people were really direct in saying that learning loss certainly is something that they were concerned about. They wanted to be on sort of like on track to graduate. They wanted to be able to make progress in their academics, but there were a lot of other losses that also felt really palpable to them. And they felt like in the learning loss conversation, there wasn't a parallel conversation about just plain loss, loss of life, loss of housing, loss of stability, loss of employment, all these other losses that they also were watching stack up around them. And that I think is a really important thing for us to keep in mind. The pandemic has impacted young people and their families in tons of different ways. And so there is certainly the loss that happens when you're not able to consistently engage with schooling, but there's also a lot of other loss that the young people are holding right now.
Nima, let's go to the phones. 1-800-423-8255. We have Streamy on the line in Marlborough. Streamy, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Streamy Pailor. I'm from Marlborough, Massachusetts. I have a ninth grader who went to high school this year. My thought on in-person schooling is that it creates bonding among the kids from the same city, same community, and it helps them learn better. It fosters team building and community building. That's my thought.
Thank you for that call. And Nima, Streamy is talking about sort of the importance of those social aspects for young people. His child, ninth grade, which means middle school last year, you're a middle school teacher. Talk about that need to be, you know, with the kid pack, you know, and the friends.
100%. I mean, I think that's been one of the most sort of palpable feelings of the first 4 or 5 days of school in Boston has been that, you know, young people are learning how to be around each other again and be around large groups of people again. And there is a lot of joy that comes from that. And there's also learning that has to happen. I feel like I went to the first time I went to a larger gathering of people during this, like, I felt like I had to relearn kind of how to be in a big group again and how to navigate those dynamics. So I think it's totally right that that we need time and space in school for both for young people to have the opportunity, but also for them to sort of relearn. What does it mean to reconnect with people? That was one of the big things that students talked about, is like, it was really hard to maintain relationships. If you don't get to see people, if your only communication with them is through technology, like, that is a very hard way to sustain relationships. Those relationships erode without the sort of meaningful physical interactions that we have in in-person school. And so if we want to rebuild those relationships, we need to make time and space for them. And that means that we might have to slow down on other things. And that's the hard part, right? Is that I think that there's definitely pressure and expectation that we sort of return to academics in a very serious way. And certainly that's necessary. But I guess the question I'm asking us to all think about is, how do we also, in parallel with that, make space for the social and for the emotional parts of this that the young people also need us to meet?
So how do you do that, especially when, as I understand it, teachers are really strained just to meet the standardized testing requirements and the academic standard requirements that regulations ask for in an academic year?
I think that's the biggest question. I think that's part of why I wrote the essay, was because I think that we need the state to lead here. I think this can't be just that, like, individual teachers and schools are making these decisions and then kind of continually in conflict over whether, like, do I make space for this need that's servicing, or do I teach this standard that I'm being told I need to teach on this date at this time by this week of this month? I think that if we were being realistic, we would talk about paring back on the standards a little bit and really trying to boil down and figure out what is most essential, what do young people need in order to progress, and are there places where we pare away? Are there places where we sort of pare back to make space for other things to happen?
And are you seeking a temporary paring back, Nima, or are you talking about permanent changes here?
I don't feel like I know the answer to that question. I think right now, for right now, in terms of the young people I'm seeing in front of me, I think we're talking about a temporary paring back. I think we need to see what happens. Like, we need to be responsive to what students are showing us. It may be that in a month, like, young people are in a better place to sort of move at a faster pace. Like, that's, you know, my gut is that this isn't, we're not talking about years of doing this. My instinct is that we're talking about, what do the first months look like, and how do we think about the ratio during these first months of the return to school? But I wouldn't want us to sort of, like, put a stake in the ground one way or the other, because I think it's really important that what we're building is responsive to what young people are showing us.
We are talking about the need for healing in schools in this third academic year touched by the pandemic. Nima Avashia is a middle school civics teacher in the Boston Public Schools. Nima, so you've said, okay, we don't know yet, a month, right? I wonder, there are those who would argue that a return to normalcy is healing. And there will be some who don't want to talk about it. They don't want to deal at school with the same traumas that they're dealing with at home. What do you do about that if you are advocating for a healing approach in the school buildings?
So I think it's 100% right that returning to routine and structure are part of healing, right? That's really important to always name. I think that there are also ways in school in which we differentiate. And that's something that we do in our classrooms all the time, which is get a sense of where young people are at and then plan for what do different students need. What do some students need to really feel healed? What are other students asking for, right? That's my job as a teacher, is to differentiate, is try to build systems that respond to all the different needs that young people are presenting. But if we don't make space to surface what those needs are in the first place, we can't do that differentiation. And so, yeah, there may be kids who are like, yeah, I'm good. I just want to do math. I don't want to talk about this. Fair. Let's figure out who you are. There are other kids for whom doing math is going to be really hard if they don't get the space to work through the pain that they're feeling. And what I don't want us to do, and what I worry about, is that we're actually ignoring the needs of that student.
So, Nima, what is a practical change that you're making in your classroom this year to make space for healing?
So I, in my classroom this year, am doing bi-weekly circles, which are check-in opportunities for young people, where there's a series of questions that we work through as a group students can choose to speak or not speak as they feel moved to. But where it really is the opportunity to intentionally stop, see how young people are feeling, see what's coming up for them. And then by listening to what they're telling me, I can then make decisions about what next steps need to happen for my young people.
And remind us, what are they telling you?
They're telling us that they need relationships. They're telling us that they need time to connect. And they're telling us that they want relevant content that's meaningful to them, that helps them to feel purposeful and connected, and like what they're doing in school matters to them and matters in the way they live in the world. Those are the biggest messages I feel like I'm getting.
So just very briefly, I'm struck by this purposeful. So the kids want to feel like they matter.
Yeah, they want to feel like they matter, and they want to feel like they're, what they're learning matters. Like they can see the relationship between what they're learning and the world outside. I think young people in the last 18 months have become incredibly aware of what life outside of school looks like. And so I think it's really important to them that what we're doing in school reflects the world outside of school, provides a mirror, and provides a way to enter into those conversations. I think they really are hungry for the meaning and relevance that education can offer them in making sense of what's happening in the bigger world.
That is Nima Avashia. She is a middle school civics teacher in the Boston Public School District. She recently wrote an essay for WBUR's Cognoscenti called What's Missing from Back to School This Year? The Time to Heal. You can find a link to this essay at WBUR.org. Nima, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.